Well, around 400 meteorologists, oceanographers and climate change scientists have arrived at the top end this morning. They're gathering for the biggest meeting of minds of its kind in the Southern Hemisphere. This is the annual Australian Meteorological and Oceanographic Society Conference. Dr. Joelle Gergis is one of the keynote speakers. She's a climate scientist from the ANU. She's also a councillor on the Climate Council. Joelle Gergis, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
Joelle, Darwin has gone through its driest wet season in almost three decades. It's hottest ever. I know for some time now you've been studying the long-term projections for climate in the top end. What have you found and how does this fit in with the climate of Darwin this wet season?
Well, we know that we've just gone through our warmest summer on record. We actually broke the 2012-2013 summer record by nearly a degree, which is an enormous margin. So we know that Australia's temperatures are actually increasing. And when it comes to future climate change, it really does depend on the type of emissions trajectory that we go down. So typically with our current business as usual emissions scenario, we see Australia warm by about 4 degrees. And in the top end, that can be around 3.7 to up to 4.9 degrees on average.
So are you saying that that warming is coming?
Well, that warming is coming.
If we meet our Paris targets?
Well, the thing is that the current pledges with the Paris Agreement are really on track to see us warm by about 3.2 degrees globally. So the global pledges actually need to triple to stay within 2 degrees of global warming and increase fivefold for the 1.5 degree scenario. So it really is a global effort here. But when it comes to climate change, Australia is actually the most vulnerable nation in the developed world because we sit in one of the subtropical desert belts of the world where we're prone to extreme heat and highly variable rainfall. And so as the climate continues to warm, we're starting to see already in the climate system things like the wet season failing.
Okay, so what would that kind of climate increase mean for Darwin? What would it look like in terms of severe weather days, in terms of amount of rainfall?
So, for instance, with extreme heat days in Darwin, the number of days above 35 degrees increases from currently 11 days in the current climate to 265 days on average by the end of the century, and even up to 322 days, which is extraordinary. So that sort of heat and humidity could actually make one of Australia's largest tropical population centres potentially unlivable by the end of the century. So we're talking about really large-scale impacts. And also in this region, sea level rise is a major concern, where we've already seen 17 centimetres over the past 20 years, which is three times the global average. But projections are suggesting that sea level could increase by up to 62 centimetres, but even up to 85 centimetres by the end of the century as well.
So we've seen 17 centimetres sea level rise in how long?
In the past 20 years.
And that's where? Completely around the continent?
That's in the Darwin area.
In northern
Australia, which is rising above the global average by about three times.
And what impact does that have? I'm thinking particularly in terms of, I mean, it's a region known for cyclones. We know this. This year is the 45th anniversary of Cyclone Tracy. What's the science telling us in terms of cyclone trends and the impact of them with that kind of sea level rise?
Well, the projections are basically showing that there'll be fewer but more intense tropical cyclones projected for the Darwin region. And for instance, we know that in 1974, a Category 4 tropical cyclone struck Darwin, which was Cyclone Tracy, and over 70% of Darwin's buildings actually destroyed. 30,000 people were evacuated from Darwin to Alice Springs and further south into Adelaide and Sydney. But Darwin was actually rebuilt using cyclone-proof building codes. And we know that that's actually really important when we start to think about future climate change impacts in other parts of the country. So, for instance, on the East Coast, where we get tropical cyclones reaching about 25 degrees south, so that's around Bundaberg near Fraser Island on the East Coast and Shark Bay on the West Coast. But if we start to see these tropical cyclones drifting further south, which is what the observations and models are suggesting, then we start to see impacts in areas which aren't really prepared or designed in terms of their infrastructure to cope with those types of conditions. And we know these things have actually happened in the past as well.
You're listening to Breakfast. It's 8 minutes to nine. Our guest is Dr. Joelle Gergis. She's an award-winning climate scientist from the ANU and the Climate Council. And the Climate Council is an independent advisory body. Can I just ask you about the projections? You're talking about, you know, if we had a four degree increase in temperature and you looked at the climate the Paris Agreement, which I think you said was still 3.5 degrees. I thought the Paris Agreement was a two degree Celsius increase.
So the Paris Agreement's goal is to try and keep global warming temperatures below, well below 2 degrees, ideally 1.5 degrees above pre-industrial levels. But our current global pledges have us seeing the planet warm by up to 3.2 degrees as our pledges stand globally. So really, there's a real shortfall in terms of what we need, where we need to be able to achieve the Paris Agreement.
In terms of that, though, in terms of behaviour as against targets, and as I mentioned, you're a member of the Climate Council, which is the leading independent body providing expert advice to all of us on climate change and policy. We are seeing a huge growth in renewable energy projects across the country. Wind farms, solar, battery storage, electric vehicles are coming. Does this show that we are, you know, moving anyway to meet demand, and that will have an impact?
Well, certainly, I think that there's some very encouraging signs in terms of development, but it's not happening fast enough. So, for instance, we only really generate 3% of Australia's electricity is generated from solar energy. So that represents a huge potential in terms of the way that we think about our future. And really, there's a lot of progress happening on the state level.
Yep.
In terms of meeting our nationally determined contributions, which contribute to the Paris Agreement. And we're seeing places like South Australia, Tasmania, and the ACT actually leading the way in terms of renewable energy targets, but also just total emissions reductions.
Okay, Joelle Gerges, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Dr. Joelle Gerges, an award-winning climate scientist from the ANU. She's also a member of the Climate Council, and she's speaking at the annual Australian Meteorological and Oceanographic Society conference in Darwin today.